Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Bes Hashem B'Tochen Shir number 22, the Chayvus Halvavis, Eric Gimel, together with the Aravigdor, the translation and commentary by Aravigdor Miller. And today we're going to go through the third answer to explain hardships that take place for the righteous, for the tzaddikim. You find in the Midbar that when they left Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Vayaancha, he afflicted you." Which is a lashon of suffering or hardship. Vayaravecha, and he let you hunger, and then vayachilches hamana shel yadata, and he fed you man that you did not know. The man itself was a difficult test. It was a tremendous bracha, but it was an affliction, and you had to go through that process of accepting it, and being elevated by it to see the bracha. To eat the same thing every day for a long period of time is difficult. But the purpose was, like the pasuk says, "Laman hodiyacha," to teach you, "Ki lo yala lechem levada yichya adam." It's not by bread alone that a man lives. El al pi al kol moitzi pi Hashem yichya adam. It's what comes out of Hashem's mouth. That's what makes a person live. In the Midbar, the nation gained that clarity. That the food they needed to come by only comes from Hashem, that people have to be willing to suffer in order to learn that great lesson. Lehitivcha ba'acharisecha, to do good for you in your end. That was the concept. The whole generation went through this, and they got better and better. And that's why Hashem loved that generation with a special love. The Gemara refers to that dar, as a long-married husband and wife, that when the love was strong, we could have made our bed on a sword blade and we would be at peace. But when our love was weak, then a bed of 60 cubits is not large enough for us. The idea being that the Midbar, the Mishkan, and the Shechina was there. And the Beis HaMikdash, that small place is not enough, but their love of Hashem and Klal Yisrael was strong, so Hashem dwelled in that little place. Hashem loved the nation in the Midbar, so he sometimes chastised them because he loved them, and that was to do good for them at the end. So that's a third reason. A fourth reason is to set an example for a tzaddik, and of course he always gets schar subsequent to this. The yeshayir laharis sichle vazbarasei hatayva, to show the tzaddik does undergo some suffering to show the tzaddik's patience and his positive attitude. In serving Hashem, that no matter how difficult it is for him, the tzaddik remains steadfast, so people can learn from him. You have the Renason Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzaddik Lavracha, who had Parkinson's for many years, and the Simchas HaChaim that he had was something to see. Rakiva setting an example of serving Hashem with Simcha, even Simcha when he was suffering a painful death, because of his dedication of Limud HaTorah. Like you see by Eev too. Eev suffered greatly, but at the end he was rewarded with twice as much happiness than he had before. A fifth answer to explain hardship for the righteous is that is a conviction for the Rishonim. It's like a din for them. Hashem sometimes afflicts a tzaddik because of the wickedness of the people of the generation. And Hashem tests the tzaddik. Ba'oini, sometimes with poverty, overish or destitution, over chalom or well illnesses, laharis chasidusei v'avidasei l'kim v'aladeim, to show his tzidkas and his service Hashem more than they are able to do. So in other words, Rishoyim are to learn from them, to change their ways, that despite their difficulties, they remain loyal. But if they don't change their ways, and they don't learn from the tzaddik, they are punished by not taking this lesson as an example. He bore our illnesses, and he suffered our pains. That means the righteous suffer because of us. Now again, they will get their full reward. They will get Gan Eden, they will get Schar for everything they went through. But again, sometimes they suffer because of the generation. There are two reasons for that. One reason is to teach the generation to learn from them, like we just said before, and also to condemn them for not living up to what is expected of them, despite having prosperity and good health. In other words, this tzaddik is suffering, and he's still serving Hashem with his suffering. And you have everything you need. You have the money, food, comforts, Why aren't you serving Hashem? A sixth answer to explain hardship for the righteous is a lack of cheshik of things. We'll see what this means in a minute. Ve'yesh yia, sometimes Hashem afflicts the tzaddik to punish him, although he's a tzaddik. Because he doesn't show that zeal, that hislavas, lakachas adin man sheidayrei, to demand justice from his people. In other words, a tzaddik has an added responsibility. Then we see someone misbehaving, and he doesn't speak up adequately. That is his sin. Although he's righteous in his personal life, he didn't take up the cause of Torah against the wicked people. Like we see the situation by the Kayin Gadol Eli and his sons, who lived in the early years of Shmuel HaNavi. Sha'ama Bahem HaKosta, the Pasuk says over there, that those who survive in your house, will bow down to the Kayin Gadol who will be in office, Lagaris Kesav Kikalachem, for a penny or a piece of bread. Meaning, they were punished because they didn't speak up and protest in the way their assistants were living. They demanded to the people to turn over the portion of the Kehanim even before the fats were burned on the Mizbeach. And that premature aspect was this behavior. And the house of Eli was punished thereof. Now, a reason for the prosperity of the Russia. Avotavis Akel Yisbarach Ala Russia. Why does Hashem sometimes give goodness and bracha to a Russia? Yeshetia Bavur Taiva Shekad Malai. Could have been because of good deed that he had done previously. So Yigmalego Kimalei Abayil Mazeh. And Hashem will reward him this world so he that has nothing in the next world. He pays his enemy in his lifetime to make them perish. He pays his enemies. Zachvan the inun the ovdin kadamayin b'chayeyon for their merits that they once did in their lifetime, to destroy them in the world to come. So one, if he's a big Russia, did terrible, terrible things. However, the slight good things that he did do, Hashem will reward him in this world, so he has nothing in the next world. Another reason for the prosperity of the Russia, the Yeshetia, Ader Chapikodinetzla, it's like a deposit. He'll be wealthy, but he won't enjoy it. Sometimes Hashem will arrange that he has a righteous son who is deserving of that wealth. And they will inherit the property that this Russia toiled all his lifetime, and now it goes to the tzaddik. He prepares the Russia, and the righteous man will wear it. A man who is not worthy makes a garment, and the tzaddik wears the garment. He inherits it. This is not necessarily to be his son, by the way. Sometimes a man gains wealth and the wealth is taken away from him and given to his righteous person, not his son. Sometimes Hashem arranges it that way. But Omar, l'choyte nosan inyan, to the sinner, he is given an occupation, lesser v'lechtes to gather, v'lechtes title of nail came to give it to one who is good in the opinion of Hashem. In other words, sometimes people collect assets and they're not righteous, they're wicked. At the end they die and no one takes over their property and then the righteous man acquires it as unclaimed property. This happens as an example. You bought a house, and some years later, underneath the basement, there was a chest of money there. Turns out that some gangster in the 1920s, whatever, built that house and hid the money there, never had a chance to spend it. He died. You bought that house, and now you have it. Another reason for the prosperity of the Russia, his wealth and success is the primary cause of his death and his undoing. He brings a case of President Kennedy. He got great honor, and he would have not been dead if he wouldn't have been elected. Another example is all these, many of these athletes, football players, that poverty, and then they go get to extreme wealth right away, and that kills them. They don't know how to handle it. You know, it's brought down in reporting that people who win the lottery suddenly, they lead terrible, miserable lives subsequently. They lose everything, and then they have horrific lives. They don't know how to handle it. That wealth is hoarded by its owner through his misfortune. A fourth reason why the Rishon prosper, this is actually a very pleasant one. Hashem says, I'll hold off my anger, maybe you'll do tshuva. That is, by the way, the healthiest approach for a Russia who is prospering. For a Russia who's prospering, you should somehow get the message. Fix your wagon before you have to pay up. And if you do, and if you do real tshuva, this wealth you'll enjoy immensely. And I'll be happy that you're enjoying it. When Hashem sees there's some hope for a Russia, he will give him extra chance. Now, if he doesn't use a lot, utilize it, then he'll ruin it. But if he does use a lot, utilize it, then Hashem holds it out to him and keeps the wealth in order for him to change, with the hope that he changes. Menashe, who did terrible things, ultimately became a Baal Tshuva. And so we see that concept. The fifth reason why Rosham prosper, v'yeshitiyah l'chesed shekardam aviv, it's to reward his previous father, his ancestor or father who was a tzaddik, v'yroi l'hitiv l'vnoi barvurai, and it is appropriate to do kindness to the son for the sake of the father, even though the son is unworthy. S'chus avais. K'sham l'yeh benim shi b'nei yervin yesh l'chal kisei Yisrael. Yehu, he destroyed the Baal, and he destroyed the worshippers of the Baal. So Hashem told him that he will have his descendants will continue to reign for four generations, even though they were undeserving. They were allowed to remain on the throne because of the promise to the ancestor. Yehu later on was problematic himself, as the Tanakh will say, and you can learn it in Tanakh in Melachim Beis. But Omar Mesalah Betumay Tzadik Ashiban of Achrav, a tzadik walks in his perfection. Fortunate are his sons who come after him. In other words, sons are fortunate to have a worthy father. And even though they are not as worthy as he, Hashem will grant him prosperity. I have seen been a youth, and I have also aged, and I have not seen a tzaddik forsaken, nor his children begging for bread. A tzaddik was aided by Hashem, and even though his children was not as good as he, they benefit because of their father's righteousness. So that's a fifth reason why a Russia prospers. A sixth reason, v'yeshatiyah, l'nasis anshe hatarmas hamatzmu meroim, to test and expose deceitful people who are harboring concealed disloyalty. Sometimes people who are not really loyal to Hashem, and when they see how the Russia prospers, it knocks them off their feet, and they stop pretending to be righteous. It's to crack their facade, to see how weak their loyalty to Hashem is. Now, true tzaddikim are able to withstand this test. He goes through that this happened in communist Russia, where a lot of Jews outwardly kept Shabbos, learned and wore tefillin and did all the mitzvahs on the outside, but inside they were very, very weak. And then when the communists came about, and they turned it all around. They just were going through the motions. So now they were the ones who started ridiculing the Torah, starting to abolish mikvahs and so on and so forth. And so when the communists came into power, they actually caved in completely and they became lost. That's why so many Jews today who are Christian or married to Gentiles is because of that, because there was a weakness there. And when disloyal people see this, they are quick to turn away from the service of Hashem, the choshim lisratzis alanshi aresha, and they hurry to show friendship to the wicked people, the lumim asayim, to learn from their deeds, the yizbar hanochar lalikim, and it then becomes clarified to those who's loyal to Hashem, the yira haneman bavidasai. So you see, for example, he says with the communist Jews that fell into communism, then you have, and he brings down the Chabad Jews, the Lubavitch Hasidim there, that behind their backs built mikvahs, and they were risking death. They opened chadarim. They were risking death. So you see how that concept of seeing how communists succeed, the success of a Russia, and it's a test to see if you'll bend to them when that happens, or you won't. A true loyal person recognizes by his tolerance at the time the wicked have power over him and humiliate him, and he'll receive schar. Eliyahu was so great he didn't die, and part of it is because of the courage to stand against Izebel, the wife of Ahav. She converted but wasn't sincere, and Eliyahu preached against her at the risk of losing his life. So Izebel, the wicked woman, actually made him great. Yirmiyah, same thing. His generation, they slapped him, they abused him. who was a pachshar, a kohen, a false prophet. Yirmiyah endured all that and became great. So they became great because of the fierce opposition that he suffered. So the idea behind this is, he brought here this year and last year six reasons why Hashem causes tzaddikim to bear hardships, six reasons why Rishon may experience prosperity. There are only some of the ways. There are many other deeper ways. Now, he does reiterate here that Rishonim do suffer, most of them do, in this world as well. And a lot of tzaddikim do very well, and they do not suffer. And, you know, and they are very happy, and they have what they need, and they're besimcha. So it's not always the case. So that's something to always remember. So the Chayvus Halvavus, these are very important to know, and it helps grow our betochen. There's some things that are indeed incomprehensible, we'll never fully understand, but some of these reasons explain the system of Hashem. But in general, one needs to know that the wicked does not prosper. The righteous does not suffer, not to that degree. We do see exceptions that bother us, and we have to strengthen our emunah mitachon when that does happen, and to integrate some of these reasons to understand them, and ultimately to have emunah pshuta, that Hashem ultimately knows what's best for us, and ultimately He gives everything. Everything fits, and everyone will get exactly what they earned. And what they are, and they will, no schar will be removed from a person, even though they're suffering temporary hardships, as painful as they are. And Hashem is taking care of us, and that very knowledge gives us comfort. Bracha v'atzlacha.